Welcome to a special encore presentation of the Bob Siegel Show. Oh, who are we kidding? Everyone knows that's radio lingo for another repeat. I'm not in the studio right now. I'm enjoying Christmas vacation, which means I obviously pre-recorded this new introduction for an old program. However, for what it's worth, this is no random repeat. It is one of my favorite shows and one of the audience's favorites. Back in the year 2007, co-host Lori Lewis and I had the honor of interviewing Sylvia Lang, niece of Hugh Martin, famous for composing, among other things, the popular hit song, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Sylvia's uncle Hugh was still alive when she came on my program. He did pass away a number of years later at the ripe old age of 96, and I gotta tell you, those were 96 years in which our world was richer. We continue to play the show as a tribute.
We are celebrating Christmas and celebrating it with music. As you've noticed by now, we are not just a talk show. Often we feature music either for parody purposes or just because we like music. But what musical artist could you possibly enjoy more than Lori Lewis, that talented multitasker who not only composes and sings, she sells jewelry, she slices, she dices, she assists me once a month as co-host. Lori, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you, Bob. It's good to be here, Mr. Bob, the monoblog guy.
Lori learned a new word this week, everybody. Monoblog. No, you invented the word.
I invented
actually
the word monoblog.
I have been blogging my brains up, but my blog is number 5 now in the kcbqtownhall.com.
Well, you definitely have something to toot your horn about. Congratulations.
It sounds better when you toot the horn for me. It made me sound humble. And you
yes,
know,
you're
so
such a humble.
You just keep bringing those things up, and we'll pretend I didn't bring
soft-spoken
it up.
Soft-spoken person.
Okay. Well, you have a guest. Tell us a little bit about her.
I do. Well, you know, you're talking about Lori Lewis, this great musician here, but I am so excited about my friend. She is very special. Sylvia Lang is here with us today, and I will tell you a little bit about
her. And there's
her.
A very well-known famous Christmas carol that she's associated with.
But we're not going to tell everybody.
Oh, you're playing the Always Leave the Morning More
I like that.
Thing.
Yeah, you know,
okay,
I'm doing the Ryan Seacrest thing after this break.
Well, we'll look forward to hearing Sylvia in just a few minutes. First, welcome in the beautiful music of Lori Lewis.
Jesus Christ, our Savior, was born upon this day. Jesus Christ, our Savior, was born upon this day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
I'm joined with my co-host, Lori Lewis, but we also have a featured guest, Lori. She's a good friend of yours, so I will let you introduce her.
This woman I met a couple of years ago, and we just hit it off. She is so wonderful.
Well, everybody hits it off with you. That's nothing new. Tell us something we don't know.
Well, she's a gifted singer, and I remember when she first gave me her card, it was just kind of really neat with her picture, and it was a speaker who sings and a singer who speaks. Was that right, Sylvia?
That's right.
And Sylvia has quite an amazing background. She is a contemporary group member of Crimson Bridge. I said that really backwards. She is a member of the contemporary group Crimson Bridge, and she's also toured and shared the stage with great artists and speakers. Beth Moore, one of my very favorites. Sandy Patty, who is just an amazing... What was that like being on tour with Sandy Patty?
Humbling.
Yes, I would imagine.
An honor.
And you know what? Sylvia Lang is just really neat. I've had a chance to sing together with her. At one time, we did some worship together, but just hand it over to Sylvia, Bob. Come on.
Sylvia, it is an honor to have you on our program. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Especially during the Christmas season when you must be very busy and you probably got other things to do. Now, tell us a little bit about your background, what made you love music, and what made you love Jesus.
Well, I grew up in a musical family right here in San Diego, and but when I went away to school, I chose a career in business. And
what school did you go away to?
I went to Loma Linda University at Riverside.
Okay.
And then I went on to get a graduate degree in business and pursued for about 20 years a career in business in various aspects of different industries. But music was always kind of in the background of my life in one way, shape, or form. I sang as a hobby. I had an opportunity when I lived in Los Angeles for many years to do a lot of session work. I got to tour with some fun people in my spare time, in my off time. But music was never a full-time gig for me until 7 years ago.
And music is now your full-time career?
Music is my full-time career.
And you're a published artist with several CDs out, I assume?
That's right. I have 3 solo albums and have participated in 2 albums with a group that I'm a member of called Crimson Bridge.
Now, do you sing exclusively Christian songs or do you sing a variety of music?
I do exclusively Christian songs. I figure at this stage of life, I have a message that I want to say. And the only message that I think is of any importance is about my relationship with God and how I think He can change lives. So
you don't see anything wrong with Christian artists singing other songs. It's just that in your particular case, you're saying life's short and this is what God has called me to do.
Life is short. This is what I feel I'm asked to do at this stage of life. But no, I love it when Christian artists are in the secular world. I think it's tremendous.
Wonderful. Now, there is a song that we kind of teased our audience with. Tell us the name of this. Okay, we are now going to reveal the name of that Christmas carol.
Drum roll, please. Song. Well, at Christmas time, there's nothing that gets me in the mood quicker to be in the Christmas spirit than music. And one of my favorite songs is apparently the second most favorite song of America.
It is.
Number 2 on the Billboard charts, my understanding, at Christmas time, and it's called Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. What's fun about that song is it was written by a man that I call Uncle Hugh. Uncle Hugh has been in our family for over 30 years, and in his day, in the 40s, he was a very prolific Broadway songwriter, having written many shows that premiered on Broadway and still run.
What kind of shows has he written? This is very interesting.
Well,
I'm a big musical, Broadway musical lover myself.
Well, his most famous show probably would be a Judy Garland show that turned into a movie that was produced by MGM called Meet Me in St. Louis.
Oh, my goodness, with the Clang 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 Goes
clang,
the Trolley
Clang Clang
song?
With the Trolley and The Boy Next Door.
And he wrote the songs to that?
He did. He and his songwriting partner in that day, Ralph Blaine, wrote the score for that musical. And
now, is
others.
He still around or is he passed
He's
on?
He's still
me.
Alive? No. Nope.
Oh, well, then let's get him on our show. Can he still talk? Can he still move?
He can still talk. He's amazing. amazing.
You're terrible.
All right. Well,
he's amazing.
Well, I'm sure people will ask if I can still move when I move on in years.
Hey, Uncle Hugh can outmove and outthink any of us in this room.
Well,
I'm sure.
Nice talking to you, Sylvia. That was Sylvia. We're going to bring Uncle Hugh on for the rest of the show. No. Both, seriously, we'd love to have him. What an honor.
He's amazing. He's going to be 94 on his next birthday, and the man is still writing songs. He just finished yet another musical called The Member of the Wedding, and he's sharp as a tack.
Well, I'm familiar with the play, the non-musical version of Member of the Wedding.
He has musicalized it, if that's a word.
Everything gets musicalized.
Yeah, you're not the only one making up words today.
Soon it's going to be Iran, the musical.
You
know, everything gets
musicalized. We make up words here.
So this was your favorite uncle growing up?
This man is just such an amazing guy. He is such a great testament to me that age is just a number. It's all a matter of perspective and how we choose to look at our life. And at 90, almost 94, the man is as passionate and alive as a person could be.
Now, did he live here in San Diego while you were growing up, or did he live in New York or Hollywood?
He was raised in the South, and he was raised in Birmingham, Alabama, and he went to New York as a young man. He entered a songwriting competition, had never written a song before in his life, won, and within a matter of very short time, he was one of the first call writers in that day. He became a contract writer for MGM Studios in Hollywood for years, but he was most known for the works that he put on Broadway.
Boy, the classic MGM musicals. Okay, now this song, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, you rewrote part of it yourself.
I wish I could take credit for it. Actually, I didn't. But Uncle Hugh became a Christian later in his life. When he was in his 60s, he found himself in the hospital with a roommate who was a preacher. And that preacher told him about a God that he'd never heard about before that was real and authentic. And he made a decision to follow Jesus Christ that day in his hospital room. And his life changed from that moment on. Several years later, he and a friend, John Fricke, decided to rewrite the words of his own classic song.
And they changed it to Have Yourself a Blessed Little Christmas,
blessed little
as I
Christmas
understand. But you've done a recording of this.
I have. I took Uncle Hugh himself in the studio, and the song we're about to hear is actually Uncle Hugh playing in that old Broadway style.
This is Sylvia Lang singing for Uncle Hugh. Very familiar, but it'll be Have Yourself a Blessed Little Christmas.
Christmas future is far away. Christmas past is past. Christmas present is here to stay, bringing joy that will last. Have yourself a blessed little Christmas. Christ the King.
Sylvia Lang, whose uncle wrote that famous song that Mel Torme, of course, amongst other artists, made famous, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. And those of you that were just listening heard quite a treat. We heard the rewriting of that song and a new recording of it, Have Yourself a Blessed Little Christmas. And Sylvia, I loved that new version. I have to tell you, I liked it as it was before, too. So I certainly didn't feel it had to be rewritten. However, that was a very unique, very beautiful, and you have just a fantastic voice.
Well, thank you.
Now, we had started talking a little bit about your Christian testimony, and let's hear more about that. Now, exactly how did you become a Christian?
Well, I was raised in a religious home and had the religious stuff down real clear. I was very good at being a religious girl for many, many years. And it wasn't until about 8.5 years ago that I finally began to understand the difference between being religious and truly having a relationship with God that meant something, that was real in a touch it, taste it, feel it kind of way. I found myself in a lifestyle that on the outside looked really good. I was running a multi-million dollar company. I had chosen a career in business, drove the right car, lived in a great house. This was up in Los Angeles at the time, vacationed at all the right places, did all the right things, but inside was dying inside, had a hole inside of me the size of this room.
We're
it was a
pretty,
big one.
We're in a pretty big room right now.
It was a pretty big hole. And I tried to fill it with everything I knew how. I tried to fill it with accomplishment, and that didn't work. I tried to fill it with men. That certainly didn't work, as every man of the month came and went. And
but I believe you told us during the break that you're married to a perfect man.
I am married to a pretty close
to perfect
man. No, she's
not talking about
man.
Jesus. There's another perfect man, and his name is Wolf?
His name is Wolf. You'd marry a guy named Wolf, wouldn't you, Lori? Wolf.
Wolf is a sweet man.
He's a sweet man.
And when you saw him and met him, did you go, Wolf?
I just said, that's the guy for me.
And he hasn't disappointed you yet?
Not one
time. How many years have you and Wolf been married?
We're going on 7 years. I was an older bride. I was 41 when I got married for the first time. I was so busy trying to make something of myself that there was no room for another person in my life. That hole that I talked about was really taking up all the space. Another thing I tried to fill up that hole, because it was awful living like that, was I tried church. That was kind of an ironic twist to my story, because I had left church for years before that. And back in the late 80s, early 90s, I found myself back in church again and realized that it was just another place that I could go look good. I mean, let's face it. People who go to church, we see each other once a week, maybe twice a week if we're involved in something. I can't think of a better place to go look good than church.
Yeah, you know, it is interesting, because to become a Christian, we must be blatantly honest about our sin. But then when we start going to church, in time, we feel intimidated to confess our sins, unless we're perfect like Wolf, but we feel intimidated to confess our sins, and we start acting like Christians and acting spiritual instead of just being who we really are. And who we are, maybe that we are walking with God one day, but there may be another day where we're not, and we need to talk about it.
We're humans, and we're so afraid of what people are going to think about us if we don't have our life looking like it's all together. And I was one of those people, because my life was anything but all together. Another thing I tried to fill up that hole was I started noticing somewhere along the line in social situations that when I'd have a glass of wine or a drink of some sort, that it would kind of take the edge off and I'd feel better. And so I'd have a second, and it made me feel as normal as I thought the people around me were, because I didn't feel anything close to normal in my life. But by the third or the fourth drink, I was making a fool of myself in public, and I didn't want anybody to think badly of me. Remember, what you think of me is all that mattered.
Well, can you tell us at least one or two of those things you did to make yourself look like a fool? Were you that one that was standing with the lampshade
on the
your
table,
head up on the coffee table?
Very close to it, I tell you.
I thought that was her. Right?
I was
standing next
close
to me.
To it. Well, the truth is by the time I was 30 years old, I believe I was a full-blown alcoholic, and I could hardly even say the word. I was so ashamed of that, because I perceived alcoholism as something that was just for people who lived in the gutters and not for someone who looked as good as me, and or at least my perception of that. And so I nursed that growing problem for a long time. I took it underground, actually, and became one of the latest secrets I kept from all my good church friends. I couldn't afford for anybody to know the truth about how bad it had gotten. And then one night, I kind of reached the end of my road, and I'd been watching for weeks and months a neighbor across the street. I kind of peek out through my curtain and look in on her life. Kind of creepy when you think about it, really, staring out through my curtains at this neighbor, but I didn't really know her. But she was one of those people that have that certain sort of undefinable something that I just knew there was something special and centered about her. I would witness her talking respectfully to her kids and lovingly to her husband. So I woke her up in the middle of the night one night when I was at the end of my road, when I thought I was was about ready to die. And she said that Jesus loved me. And before that, I would have chalked it up as one of those trite things that church people say. But suddenly in that moment, I knew that she was talking about a living and a holy God, that he loved me just as I was. And that was the last night I felt a need to take a drink or a pill.
This is wonderful and moving, and I really appreciate your courage and honesty. We want to talk more about this, but first, let's listen to your next song. What is this one?
This song is a song that's really an ode to my dad. Oh Come, Oh Come Emmanuel is a favorite Christmas traditional song that we've done in a little bit of an untraditional way on the new album.
Oh, we love untraditional ways in
Great.
The show. Okay, there's another untraditional song by Sylvia Lang.
Oh come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee.
It is so good to hear your music. I mean, I have heard your voice all the time, and I just think it's so beautiful. But these two songs are just stunning.
Well, not only beautiful, but that version of Emmanuel was the most beautiful version I've ever heard.
Oh, thank you.
It was moving.
Really,
it was
really
incredible.
Beautiful. And say that to all your Emmanuel singers.
Well, we had a lady that sang about Emmanuel just last week.
That's it. That's it.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone.